would be wrong and unjust for Americans laid off by the virus to be replaced with new immigrant labor flown in from abroad.
The U.S. president says he will suspend immigration to the United States due to the coronavirus outbreak. This is Thursday, April 23rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic becomes a major issue in the U.S. presidential race. Expanded testing has made a difference in the number of pandemic victims down under. And we'll take you to a dairy farm in the state of Wisconsin for a look at how the outbreak has changed farmers' lives. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The Trump administration is ordering a 60-day suspension of immigration into the United States, specifically for individuals seeking permanent residence, also known as the green card. Trump said the move is necessary to protect American workers already suffering from the coronavirus pandemic. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the story.
U.S. President Donald Trump said that his 60-day suspension for individuals seeking permanent residency, also known as a green card, is necessary to protect American workers.
It would be wrong and unjust for Americans laid off by the virus to be replaced with new immigrant labor flown in from abroad.
The White House has not released details about the plan, but Trump said that there will be exemptions for temporary guest workers, such as those who work seasonally on farms.
The farmers will not be affected by this at all. If anything, we're going to make it easier, and we're doing a process that will make it better for those workers to come in to go to the farm.
It's unclear whether Trump means suspension of all green card processing or just new applications, and whether application-based family ties, including spouses of American citizens, would be impacted. Much of the actions by U.S. immigration systems have already stopped due to the pandemic, with almost all visa processing indefinitely suspended for weeks. It's not yet known whether this executive order would impact health workers on H-1B visas who are seeking to transfer their status to a green card, but the move is already creating concerns among public health experts. Data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows that immigrants make up a large portion of the healthcare industry, including 28% of physicians, 15% of nurses, medical assistants, and health technicians. Gavin Yamey is the director of the Center for Policy Impact in Global Health at Duke University's Global Health Institute.
He is going to be halting the immigration of experts who could be helping to tackle this pandemic.
Republican lawmaker Matt Gaetz has been working with Trump to finalize the order.
The constellation of ideas that the president is currently refining for that executive order considers the types of folks that would regularly traverse the border for commerce, as opposed to those who are actually engaged in the act of immigration who don't live and work in the United States and would come here for that purpose.
The president has legal justification to enact immigration policies for health reasons. The recent Supreme Court decision upholding Trump's travel ban also gives him legal precedent. But analysts point out that with most polls showing the majority of Americans disapproving of Trump's handling of the pandemic, this could be politically motivated. Cristobal Ramon is a senior policy analyst with the Bipartisan Policy Center's Immigration Project.
This move allows him to try to change the conversation around pandemic. And I think he's trying to sort of present himself as making a large major decision that can mitigate the public health and economic fallout from what's been happening with the spread of the virus.
Trump, who is running for re-election on his immigration record, has often touted his order to stop the entry of some travelers from China in late January as a decisive move that saved many lives in the pandemic. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. China's foreign ministry Wednesday rejected a lawsuit filed by the U.S. state of Missouri claiming the nation is responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic. with North Korea saying nothing so far about outside media reports that leader Kim Jong-un may be unwell, there is renewed worry about who's next in line to run a nuclear-armed country that has been ruled by the same family for seven decades. A key member of Hong Kong's cabinet has been reassigned under a major reshuffling unveiled Wednesday. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. China's alleged underreporting and misinformation about the coronavirus outbreak that originated in the Chinese city of Wuhan is becoming a heated topic in the U.S. presidential election. VOA's Brian Padden reports that both President Donald Trump and his Democratic rival Joe Biden have launched dueling campaign ads accusing each other of being soft on China's handling of the pandemic.
President Trump's re-election team recently released an ad revisiting themes from his 2016 campaign, attacking China and accusing his Democratic rival, this time former Vice President Joe Biden, of corruption.
If that worked last time, they may be thinking that it has a chance to work again this time.
Trump won the 2016 presidential election in part by blaming China for the loss of U.S. manufacturing jobs and characterizing then-Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton as corruptly tied to corporate interests. The Trump campaign ad targeting Biden contrasts the president's decision to cut off travel from China to prevent the spread of the coronavirus with his rival's opposition to the travel ban. But the ad also uses out-of-context statements from Biden to portray him as soft on China, and it accuses him of being financially compromised based on unproven allegations that his son Hunter Biden inked a billion-dollar deal with a Chinese state-run business. Before the coronavirus pandemic, Trump had been touting strong economic growth during his presidency as a key campaign issue. Now, widespread business closures imposed to slow the outbreak have left millions of Americans out of work. Polls show the president's approval rating falling over what a majority of Americans see as his inconsistent handling of the public health and economic crises. Trump and congressional Republicans insist China should face consequences for masking the severity of the COVID-19 health crisis and spreading disinformation that the virus came from the U.S. But Trump's critics see this messaging as an attempt to shift blame away from the slow U.S. response to the pandemic, which has claimed more than 42,000 American lives.
The critique of the Trump administration implies that had China been perfectly transparent, the United States would have been perfectly strategic in its response. And we know that not to be true.
While accusing Biden of corrupt financial interests, critics say Trump and his family are less than transparent about their own business dealings around the world, noting the president has yet to release any tax returns. But Trump's argument that his personal wealth actually frees him from outside influence continues to resonate with many of his supporters.
That's a fairly common populist strategy, is to sort of say, they're all corrupt. I was too, but I'm going to be corrupt on your behalf, basically.
The Biden campaign has countered with its own ad. It accuses Trump of ignoring early intelligence reports warning of the coronavirus threat and of praising Chinese President Xi Jinping in the midst of the crisis to preserve a recently inked trade deal between the U.S. and China. Both campaigns are increasingly critical of Beijing, reflecting growing public anger in the U.S. at China as the origin for the deadly virus that is infecting millions, causing much of the world economy to shut down. Brian Padden, VOA News, Washington.
Here is a VOA Asia news update. Indonesia will ban people from traveling to celebrate Ramadan, bracing for a possible surge in COVID-19 cases in the largest Muslim-majority nation in the world by population. Tens of millions of Indonesians who want to leave big cities for the holiday will be barred starting Friday, according to the government. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. Health authorities in Australia are going to widen COVID-19 testing for anyone with even the mildest symptoms. The authorities believe they're controlling the outbreak. There are over 6,500 cases of the virus in Australia to date, with 74 fatalities. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
More than 444,000 COVID-19 tests have been carried out across Australia. In the state of New South Wales, authorities plan to increase the rate of screening in an effort to further control the spread of the disease. They now want to examine people who are displaying only mild symptoms that include a persistent cough. Testing for COVID-19 has been a key part in Australia's fight against the new coronavirus. Officials say strict physical distancing measures, with cafes, parks and many shops being forced to shut, also have been instrumental. Australia's geography plays a factor too. A vast island, it's closed its international borders to foreigners, insulating itself from infections from overseas. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian says there will be increased testing in areas where there are COVID-19 clusters.
We are looking to expand the testing regime. We already have, on a good day, between 4,000 and 4,500, even 5,000 people getting tested. We've nominated the hotspots where that testing should occur in a more proactive way. We're asking everybody in those hotspots to come forward. We have one of the highest testing rates in the world, and that's one of the reasons I believe New South Wales is in the position we are when it comes to fighting the COVID virus.
Health Minister Greg Hunt says Australia has a sustained and genuine flattening of the curve, with the COVID-19 infection rate decreasing daily by about 1%. That optimism is shared by the Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk. She says her state was really on track to smashing that curve, as it recorded no new cases of coronavirus in the past 24 hours. Most restrictions of personal movement and businesses are likely to stay in place for several more weeks at least. Some of the measures, however, are being relaxed. Sydney's famous Bondi Beach is set to reopen next week to surfers and swimmers. In Melbourne, vandals targeted the home of a Chinese-Australian family in a suspected coronavirus hate attack. Perpetrators daubed graffiti with the words COVID-19 China Die on the family's garage door. It's the latest in a series of apparently racially motivated attacks in the state of Victoria during the coronavirus pandemic. For VOA News, Phil Mercer in Sydney.
This news from VOA Asia. Clashes between government forces and Taliban insurgents have killed about 60 combatants on both sides, according to officials in Afghanistan. In a major pre-dawn attack, the Taliban raided army and police outposts in two districts in the northern Sarapul province. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia, Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
VOA Asia continues. U.S. dairy farmers have faced a crash in milk prices and demand amid the coronavirus pandemic, when restaurants, workplaces, and schools shuttered across the country. Many dairy operations have even dumped their cow's milk. VOA Mandarin reporter Adriana Zhang talked with Joe Meyer, a dairy farm owner in Wisconsin, about the difficulty the farmers are facing.
A large percentage of dairy products go to restaurants and the schools. And with that market being shut down, that demand has, that sector of the demand has been shut down. However, that doesn't mean that, you know, people are eating less. It's just that people are getting their products through grocery stores instead of going to the restaurants or going to the schools to get that food. And so the processing sectors of our industry, the dairy sector and the vegetable sector, that part of the industry is adjusting to the distribution to fulfill the needs of the consumers and the individuals in our neighborhoods.
So what kind of loss are you looking at?
My goodness, a third less, you know, for income. So at that level, it starts to, it kind of falls below the break-even point. That's for the milk. On the meat side also, there's substantial decrease of those commodity prices. At this point, all the producers are, you know, it's survival. Everybody's in survival mode. You know, it's everybody's just buying their bare necessities, cutting the extras, trying to get through this, as is everybody else in America. The dairy producers not only are worrying about selling their product, but their milk product, but it's time to start planting crops in the field. And those supplies cost money, and the farmers are going to need money to pay for those bills. And so the next few weeks or few months are going to be really, really tight financially for dairy farmers throughout, well, the whole world or the U.S., but specifically in this area.
So if the pandemic ends, say, in May or June or July, the impact from the pandemic would last till maybe like next year or the year after next year.
Financially, it's, you know, there's the human health side and the financial side, and in the financial effects, if it carries on for another several months, it will absolutely devastate the dairy economy, and there will be bankruptcies because of it.
VOA Mandarin's reporter Adriana Zhang talking with Joe Meyer, a dairy farm owner in Wisconsin. Demand for plant-based protein foods is surging in Asia, suppliers say, as suspicion over possible links between wild animal meat and the new coronavirus drives some consumers, particularly in Hong Kong and mainland China, to rethink their diet. Though still a tiny business compared to Asia's giant meat supply chain, vegetarian alternatives to meat, dairy, and seafood are gaining growing custom from people like Hong Kong-based fitness trainer Mike Lee. He says because of the coronavirus, people have started to pay more attention to their diet and health. He serves up burritos in his kitchen made using a plant-based pork alternative, saying people now are more afraid of getting sick. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, consultancy Euromonitor last year predicted China's free-from-meat market, including plant-based products meant to replace meat, would be worth nearly $12 billion by 2023, up from just under $10 billion in 2018. Developing at this hour in Asia, India has ordered a pause in testing for antibodies to the coronavirus because of concern over the accuracy, health officials said Wednesday, complicating the fight against the epidemic as its tally of cases nears 20,000. Some European countries, including Spain, have also complained about the quality of the Chinese-supplied kits. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Twitter and Facebook at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, as the coronavirus continues to threaten millions of lives across the globe, many people are trying to step up and help. A small girls' robotics team in Afghanistan has shifted its focus from designing and making robots for competitions to replicating designs for ventilators. VOA's Khalil Nurzai has more from Herat, Afghanistan, in this report narrated by Bezan Hamdard.
Known for competing in major robotics competitions, like the 2017 worldwide first Global Robotic Olympics in the United States, the Afghan girls' robotics team in Herat, Afghanistan is busy designing something completely different. Much-needed ventilators during the coronavirus pandemic. Hospitals and medical institutions across the globe are seeing severe shortages of ventilators.
As the number of COVID-19 cases increase, we can't sit around waiting for other countries to come and help us.
We should do something here so that the lack of ventilators is not felt in Afghanistan.
Ventilators are not just needed in Afghanistan, but the entire world right now. We wanted to help the government and the health ministry, and that's why we started working on the device.
The team's trainer, Ghafur Yaqubi, says these ventilators are primarily made of scrap parts from cars and will be ready for clinical testing as soon as next month.
In order to get this project in clinical test level, it'll take time until May to test it under supervision of experts.
Health ministry officials welcome the robotics team's initiative, but say there is a long way to go before these ventilators can be used on patients.
First of all, this device should be tested on animals in the laboratory, and if the outcome is satisfactory and useful, it could be used on patients.
Afghanistan's female robotics team's senior leadership believes the team and health ministry should work closely with one another in order to achieve better results.
Their doctors probably have better ideas or some advices that can help this device to be improved. And then we needed to test it. And hopefully by May and June, it could be ready that we can put it in the hospitals and clinics.
According to Johns Hopkins University, there are more than 1,000 confirmed coronavirus cases, and 36 people have died due to the virus in Afghanistan as of April 21st. The engineers are hoping that their skills in making ventilators could one day lead to saving people's lives. For Khalil Nurzai in Herat, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
First there were donuts, now there's a video game inspired by Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease expert in the United States, made famous during the coronavirus pandemic with his frequent television appearances. The video game is created by a Brooklyn-based startup, Beat the Bomb, Fauci's Revenge. It's free to play online and is also a fundraiser, with donations going toward New York City hospitals. Tina Trin reports.
It's a video game for our pandemic times, and the hero of this 8-bit saga is none other than U.S. infectious diseases expert Dr. Anthony Fauci. The 79-year-old coronavirus task force member has been reimagined as guardian of a new galaxy.
He's this, like, cyberpunk superhero that can blast lasers out of his eyes, kind of like an X-Men, Superman type.
In Fauci's Revenge, players destroy viruses while gathering good health and social distancing habits. It's the brainchild of New Yorker Alex Patterson.
During the game, icons drop from the top of the screen. Good ones are things like hand washing, hand sanitizer, solo meditation. You capture those to earn more life in the game. And then there are bad things that you need to shoot, like crowds, going to the club, stadiums.
The game is part of an online fundraising campaign called Beat the Virus. Patterson and his startup, Beat the Bomb, are hoping to raise $25,000 to support local public hospitals through NYC Health and Hospitals.
You're always looking for the silver lining as a startup entrepreneur to try to make the best of the situation.
In a nod to the virus's name, COVID-19, Fauci's Revenge has 19 levels. An upcoming online competition will reward the top player with an Oculus Quest VR headset. Patterson says playing is cathartic.
Because you get to sort of mash the keys on your keyboard and blast the coronavirus, this thing that you can't see, you can't smell, you can't touch, that we're all shuttered indoors because of.
It's one way to get revenge on the nemesis of the hour. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter, VOA Asia. And you can find us at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing director, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day.